Good morning and welcome to Simply Economics. It's Thursday, April 18th. On today's show, San Antonio sets the bar for economic recovery after COVID, and the EU hosts a conference to boost economic ties with Ukraine. Plus, we'll decode how the Second Cold War will skew trade and investment. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics. We start off with some positive economic news out of San Antonio, Texas. The city is celebrating a record-breaking year for its hospitality industry, generating an economic impact of $19 billion in 2022, up 10% from the previous year. This tourism boom also added $262 million in tax revenues for the city. For more on this, we turn to our Simply Economics correspondent. So what factors contributed to San Antonio's hospitality success despite the challenges of the pandemic?
The city made some bold moves during COVID-19 that are now paying off. Over 100 new restaurants and a dozen new hotels opened during the pandemic. This expanded the city's offerings and appeal to a wider range of visitors beyond just families. San Antonio leveraged its rich history and diversity to broaden its public perception. For example, Hotel Emma, built within a century-old former brewery, was named the top luxury destination in the U.S. by TripAdvisor. The city is also now one of only two in the nation designated as a UNESCO Creative City of Gastronomy, celebrating its innovative and multicultural culinary scene that draws from indigenous, Spanish, European, and other global influences.
Those are some impressive accomplishments. What are the economic impacts of this hospitality boom for the city and its residents?
The benefits are significant. The hospitality industry is now one of the top five economic drivers in San Antonio. Its payroll surpasses pre-pandemic 2019 levels. Mayor Ron Nirenberg called the $19 billion impact a win not just for the city, but for its citizens. The $250 million in added tax revenues can fund important public services and infrastructure. While visitor numbers dipped slightly in 2022 from the 2021 revenge travel peak of 34.8 million, officials are confident growth will continue rebounding back toward pre-pandemic levels in 2024.
How is San Antonio's culinary scene driving this growth and putting the city on the map as a food destination?
The UNESCO Creative City of Gastronomy designation really highlights how San Antonio's food is interwoven with the city's history, culture, and people. Indigenous ingredients and techniques combined with Spanish and other European influences over centuries have created a uniquely San Antonio flavor. Today, the culinary scene celebrates that heritage while continuing to innovate. You'll find traditional Tex-Mex alongside Brazilian, Chinese, Nigerian, and other global cuisines. Fusion is happening with everything from barbecue to tacos. So locals and tourists alike are drawn to an incredibly diverse, creative, and high-quality dining experience you can't find anywhere else.
San Antonio is certainly an impressive example of how strategic investment in hospitality and tourism can drive economic growth and recovery, even in challenging times. Speaking of economic ties, the European Union is taking steps to strengthen its relationship with Ukraine amid the ongoing war with Russia. The EU is hosting a summit in Brussels today called Ukraine's Future Summit 2024 to explore investment opportunities for European companies in Ukraine. Here with more details is our correspondent. What can you tell us about the focus and goals of this summit?
The summit is bringing together corporate leaders to discuss key sectors of the Ukrainian economy where EU-based companies can invest. There will be an emphasis on promoting sustainable development and strengthening the economic relationship between the EU and Ukraine. Attendees include Ukraine's Deputy Minister of Economy, Oleksiy Sobolev, the European Commission's Gert-Jan Koopman, and Volker Ull from the German Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development. The event follows the EU's decision last December to begin membership talks with Ukraine, which Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called a victory for Ukraine, a victory for all of Europe.
This summit comes as Ukraine continues to face attacks from Russia and appeals for more military aid from allies. What's the latest on that front?
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is urging EU leaders to send more Patriot air defense systems to Ukraine quickly. In a recent address, President Zelensky highlighted a deadly Russian attack in Chernihiv and the urgent need for weaponry to withstand the bombardment. Germany recently announced it would supply a Patriot system to Ukraine. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg also pressed member states to prioritize aid to Ukraine, even over meeting NATO capability targets.
And there's been an espionage-related arrest in Germany with a connection to the war in Ukraine as well, correct?
That's right. German prosecutors announced on Thursday that two German-Russian nationals have been arrested on suspicion of spying for Russia. The two are accused of acting as agents for sabotage purposes and preparing explosives. One of the men allegedly agreed to carry out attacks on potential targets in Germany, including U.S. military facilities, with the aim of sabotaging aid for Ukraine. The suspects were arrested in the Bavarian city of Bayreuth and have been linked to the separatist pro-Russia Donetsk People's Republic.
Clearly, the ripple effects of this war continue to be felt across Europe in many ways. Thank you for that update and analysis. For Simply Economics, this has been our correspondent. Now, there's been a lot of talk lately about geopolitical and economic fragmentation and the potential impact on globalization. To help us understand what's really going on, we have Simply Economics correspondent Bella joining us. Bella, there's been speculation that we're seeing deglobalization, while others argue it's more of a slowdown or slowballization, as some have termed it. What's your take on the current state of global trade?
Well, David, the reality is global trade is still operating, but facing a lot more uncertainty and headwinds compared to recent decades. The U.S.-China trade war and increasing economic competition between the two superpowers has definitely impacted trade flows. But rather than a complete reversal or deglobalization, what we're seeing is more of a reconfiguration. Companies are looking to diversify supply chains and reduce reliance on China. This is leading to some countries, particularly in Southeast Asia, potentially benefiting as manufacturing gets shifted to those locations. But this restructuring of supply chains focused more on security versus pure efficiency will likely result in higher costs.
So it sounds like a mixed picture. Trade is continuing, but the patterns are shifting as companies and countries adapt to new geopolitical realities. What about the impact on global economic growth with this slowdown in trade?
Yes, the changing trade environment and slowballization, as you mentioned earlier, will likely be a drag on global growth. The free flow of goods and capital across borders, which really accelerated in the 1990s and 2000s, was a major engine driving global GDP growth. With more friction in the system now, that tailwind is diminishing. We're already seeing global trade growing more slowly than global GDP, whereas it used to outpace economic growth. The focus on supply chain resilience versus lowest cost will push up prices. The Peterson Institute estimates that this could shave off close to a percentage point from annual global growth in the coming years.
Those are some significant economic impacts to watch out for. Do you see any signs that this fragmentation into rival economic blocks could start to reverse, or are we in this new reality for the foreseeable future?
Near term, it's hard to see the U.S.-China strategic competition diminishing. Polls show an increasing majority of Americans now see China as the greatest threat to the U.S., and there is bipartisan support in Washington for curbing China's rise as an economic and geopolitical rival. At the same time, China is pursuing a dual circulation strategy to reduce its own vulnerability to external pressure. So this economic disengagement looks likely to continue. Longer term, the huge economic incentive for the two largest economies to trade with each other will persist. But it will likely be a much more managed, regulated process than the laissez-faire approach of the past 30 years.
Thanks, Bella, for helping us understand this crucial issue of our time. Really appreciate your insights on how the global economy is entering a new era. Shifting gears to regional news, Tamil Nadu, the southern Indian state, is heading to the polls this Friday. A new analysis of economic, social, and environmental indicators shows that the state has achieved impressive development across multiple dimensions in recent years. For more on this, we're joined by our correspondent. So what did this analysis find in terms of Tamil Nadu's social progress?
The analysis looked at various measures of social development, like child health, women's empowerment, and educational attainment. And Tamil Nadu ranked near the top among major Indian states on many of these social indicators. For example, in measures like the percentage of children who are underweight, or the percentage of women with at least 10 years of schooling, Tamil Nadu was one of the best performing states, and its rankings on these metrics have improved over the past 10 to 15 years.
That's impressive social progress. How has the state fared economically during this same period?
Economically, Tamil Nadu has also been a strong performer, consistently ranking among the top states in India. A big driver has been its robust manufacturing sector. Tamil Nadu is home to major auto, electronics, and textile industries. This manufacturing base has supported economic growth and helped the state outperform the national average on per capita income and other economic measures.
That paints a picture of a state that has managed to achieve both social progress and economic dynamism. Are there any areas of concern that emerged from this analysis?
One potential issue is sustainability. The analysis found that while Tamil Nadu has posted strong economic numbers, it lags many other states on environmental metrics. Things like air quality, tree cover loss, and renewable energy usage. So there are questions about whether the state's development model is environmentally sustainable in the long run. Experts say the government will need to focus more on green growth to ensure the gains of the past couple decades are lasting.
Thanks for that analysis. It provides important context as voters in Tamil Nadu head to the polls. The next government will certainly have to grapple with those sustainability questions. And that wraps up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics. We'll see you back here tomorrow.